Okay. Just before I get into what I want to share, I just felt as I came in here, I just felt Holy Spirit saying that the water level is rising. Maybe it was all the rain we've had, but I just felt that Holy Spirit was saying the water level is rising, and it's also in line with the dream that Fiona had before she came, which she'll share later. And I was reminded of Ezekiel 47. And I just want to read this to you. It's Ezekiel 47, and it's verse 9. And it says, "For they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes." So I just want to declare over you people today, Ezekiel 47, that the water level is rising. And it's not time to tiptoe about, but it's time to swim in the river and let the river carry you wherever Holy Spirit wants to take you. There's freedom. There's life in the river. There's life in the river, and it flows abundantly from the throne room of heaven. There are no limitations. There are no restrictions. There are no borders or boundaries. But there's a river that's flowing, teeming with life and deliverance and hope and healing in Jesus' name. And I just declare that it's rising. It's rising in this place, and it will have an impact not only in your lives, but in this town, in Jesus' name, that many will see and hear of the goodness of God as they hear of your testimony. Just let Him take you over this weekend deeper into the river. There's a place of freedom. There's a place of life, of hope, which leads to expectancy. Because we have our faith in God Almighty, who breathes life into us. Thank you, Jesus. And I also just want to share a couple of words that I had before I came. And these are just for people here. Jesus will always come through. He always does. So whatever situation you're in, I feel that somebody needs to know that today, that Jesus will come through for you, because He always does. And there's something else that I had in my heart. Father God has allowed in His wisdom what He could have easily have prevented. That He has allowed in His wisdom what He could have easily have prevented. And I believe someone needs to hear that today, that you need to know that God is in control of your life. He is watching over you. And I also feel that there's someone here, or maybe people here, that are grieving disappointment. That God didn't come through as you thought. But He will come through for you. And I feel that you have to grieve the letting go and get up and leave that place. Because we know that my dad or your dad is watching over you. So I feel that you need to get up and leave that place of disappointment and know that God is watching over you. And the first word that I had, that Jesus will always come through, He always does, I felt like it may be related to someone who had a business or who is in some kind of a has a business or in some kind of work that they've been struggling with. So I'll leave that with you. Okay, thank you. Well, it's really, really, really good to be here. We've been very, very excited about coming. I didn't even know where Rugeley was. In fact, I hadn't even heard of Rugeley before. I didn't know it was on the map, but there we go. My wonderful driver brought us here with her sat nav. So I really want to just honour Richard and Jacqueline. We met them and at a conference down in Eastgate. You all know Eastgate. So if I talk about Eastgate, you all know Eastgate, yes? It's a church in North Kent, which is where we come from. And we met at a conference, and we meet lots of people, because we have quite a few conferences. And I was sitting talking with Richard and also with... Yeah, sorry, I couldn't remember your name. And with Dave. And I thought, God, these guys are really special people. And I thought, this is a really God encounter. And I was excited about meeting them. And so I introduced them to Iren, because Iren is the powerful person in Eastgate. And she works alongside with, she's PA, and so she kind of, yeah. And anyway, so I introduced her to them, and both of us really felt that God had connected us together, and that somehow in the future that we would be paying you a visit, or that you, yeah, we would be working together with you. And you know, when we come and we, you know, we visit churches and we go places, I always, you know, like to say that, you know, we get just as much out of coming. From being around you guys. You know, we're not just the professionals that are coming to, but we really, you know, we just really love being with you and seeing what God's doing and releasing what God wants to do in your environment and just partner with you. So I really hope that we can just get to know each other a bit and just spend time together and just, yeah, we just really want to enjoy being around you and just really pray that God's going to bless you over this weekend. One of the things that I've been really praying about for this weekend is that you would have a revelation. Because when we have revelatory encounters, they are powerful and it opens up us up to the whole realm of possibilities. But that's what I really am praying for this weekend, that it wouldn't just be a whole lot of information that we discharge to you, but it will be a moment where you have a revelation where heaven kind of clashes with your spirit, as it were, and takes you into a new place of breakthrough and freedom. And I had a dream, and in the dream, I was picking lots of different flowers that were handed to me from Father. And all sorts of different flowers, wildflowers, roses, you know, all the different types of flowers. And then I was handing them out to you. And each one of them had been handpicked by the Father, and each one of them was unique in its creativity, in how it had been created. And I really feel that this weekend, that Father God, Holy Spirit, is going to give to you what you need to hear this weekend and what will be unique to you. So there may be something in what I say or Fiona or Irene said that will come to you as a revelation from God that will set you free, because I believe that God has something unique to say to you this weekend. Okay? Amen. I had another dream. Because I was asking Holy Spirit what I should share about this morning, or what we should share, because I know that on your heart is the whole thing of healing, and because we have a healing center, and I'm very much involved in the whole healing world and the medical world, because I'm in the medical profession, and so I really, my heart's desire is to see the healing and the medical world coming together, and we're pushing through for that, that GPs will begin to refer patients to our healing center as part of their package of care, and that's what we're pushing for. And that's why our healing center is set up in a very strategic way in order to do that. There are certain things that we don't do because in the medical world that would not be recognized. So like measuring legs, for instance, we do not do that because that would not be recognized by the medics. So we have, I'm very, very passionate about the whole medical and the whole healing center. And so I was asking God what he wanted me to share this morning. And I had a dream that God wanted me to share with you about the goodness of God. What I really would like you to do, first of all, is to switch off your brains. Okay? I think so often we operate out of our minds instead of out of our spirits, because we live in a very, a culture that is very humanistic, that is very logical, that is very rational. And I think often we are just like maybe humans having a spiritual experience, whereas God wants us to be spirit, well, we are spiritual beings having a human experience, because it says in John 3:8 that we are born of the Spirit and the Spirit lives in us. So when we live by the Spirit, he takes us into an extraordinary life. So we live as if heaven often is detached from earth, but there is no detachment from heaven to earth. We occupy the same space as which Jesus did with his Father in John 7:28. And, you know, we should only ever be challenged by heaven. So our problems come from earth, but our support comes from heaven. And I thought about this, you know, if we are in Christ, then all our problems are in Christ, aren't they? And I believe that today, that as we begin to listen with our spirits, and this is another word, that all the tensions of what you are not will begin to disappear. When you begin to live out of your spirit and listen out of your spirit, all the tensions of what you are not will begin to disappear. Now, the goodness of God is something that is very dear to my heart for lots of reasons. And I have been going through quite a journey in these last, particularly these last 9 months. And it partly came to a conclusion this week, which I thought, oh, that's quite significant. I said to Fiona in the car on the way, oh, 9 months, you know, 9 months pregnancy, and then you give birth. And I have seen some amazing miracles. And we always actually start our day when we do school with good news. And I've seen amazing, I prayed for a chap, one of the dads at school. He had a crumbling spine, and he was under the St. Thomas's in London, and he was about to have major surgery. And I was out with a group of parents having a drink at the end of term, and I was sitting with a group of people, and he came over to us, because there's lots of us, and started to share his story. And I thought, that's wrong. Something rose up in me as he started to share that he was going to have this major operation and he possibly was going to lose his voice and lose the use of his arm, because they were going to take his voice box out of here and put it in his spine because it was crumbling. And anyway, he walked, after he shared his story, he walked off into, we were in the garden of the pub, walked into the pub, and I followed him. And I said, oh, I went to the bar, and the guy said, do you want a drink? I said, no, I want to talk to this chap. And I said, oh, you just told me your story. And I said, would it be okay if I just pray for you? I said, no one will know. We'll keep our eyes open, and I just will pray for you. And he's like, wow. He said, yeah, sure. He said, that's really interesting. He said, because I used to go to church. He said, and my parents are Christians. So at the bar, I prayed the simplest prayer you could ever imagine. It certainly wasn't shut up, I got it, shut up. It was very simple. And anyway, About, I don't know, a few weeks later, he has a shop. I was in his shop buying something. And I said again, oh, can I pray for you? Because I know you're going up, you know, so pray for him again. Very short, simple prayer. Then, I don't know, maybe a few weeks later, I bumped into him in the playground. He said, never guess what? He said, I went up to St. Thomas's, and they've re-scanned him pre-op. And the consultant put my x-rays up on the scan, up on the, you know, up on the wall, the light. And he said he thought he had the wrong person because his spine was completely healed. Completely and utterly healed. So we've seen, you know, in the healing center, we've seen cancer disappearing. We've seen, I'm just looking at some testimonies actually this morning, and of a lady who's had secondaries, and she shared in it's on the website, you can look at it, that the secondaries have completely gone. Another lady who had problems with her hip. So I've seen these amazing miracles. My father-in-law was healed of sinus cancer. But in my own self, I've had to contend with physical things going on. I'm not going to go into details, but physical things going on in my body. And through these last months, I've had tests and all sorts of things. And the thing that has carried me through these 9 months has been my declaration of the goodness of God. And it's maybe been 5 or 6 times in a day. And when you start to speak out the goodness of God, even in the face of circumstances that you know aren't good, and physical things that you know aren't good, because I do know a little bit about these things that aren't good, when you start to speak out the goodness of God, it disarms the enemy, and it transports you into a completely different place. It takes you from the place of fear, it takes you from the place of desperation and disappointment. And there was disappointment knocking on my door, I can assure you. You know, I'm praying for people and they're getting healed. And I'm like, but God, what's happening in my own physical body? And so in this season, I have learned what it is to have a lioness heart that believes without ceasing in the goodness of God. And I believe that God wants it to become our battle cry. And it dismantles lies of the enemy. So that's really what I just want to share with you this morning. I'm going to go on and talk now about his goodness and who he is and his amazing love for us. You know, whenever God says something for the first time, he's setting a precedent, isn't he? Of who he is and what we can expect from him. So he's setting a precedent of who he is and what we can expect from him. And right in the beginning, in the book of Genesis, in creation, God says, what did he say? That what he created was good. When he created man, it was very good. And so I just really believe that we have opportunities to put his goodness on display. And I believe that his goodness should be the hallmark of every believer. You know, I looked up in the Bible the Hebrew and the Greek meanings of the word goodness. I thought it'd be interesting to just look up and see what some of them say. And these are some of the words to describe the goodness of God. It's kindness, it's beauty, it's favor, it's mercy, it's bountiful. That's great, isn't it? It's loving, it's pleasure, it's precious, pleasant, gladness, joy, gracious, gentleness, and generosity. They're all some of the words that describe the goodness of God. And so I just want us to look up. We're gonna look at Ezekiel 33. If you want to, I don't know if you've got your Bible, if you want to turn to it, because that's really where we're gonna start from the Ezekiel 33. No, what am I talking about? Sorry, Exodus. I'm sorry, Exodus 33. I'm going, oh, that doesn't look right. And verse 12. We're just going to break this down. We're going to read through this and break it down as we go. So verse 12, it said, "Then Moses said to the Lord, 'See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight.'" Now there's a key here. From here we can see that Moses was very secure in his sonship. He knew that he was known by name. It's upon you, his goodness. He will release a greater measure of it to you. He knew his rights. He knew here that he had total access to the Father. And so often I think we have a wrong filter. So we often filter things as through an orphan spirit. Like the older son, you know, in the prodigal son. Everything was there before him, and yet he didn't access it, did he? We filter things often through guilt, through shame, through fear, through lack, and through unworthiness. And an orphan spirit, often we're afraid of making mistakes. And with an orphan spirit, we often try to live a life to protect ourselves, to self-survive our poverty. But I just want to tell you this morning that when we begin to discover the goodness of God and how utterly amazing that he is, then you will begin to discover how utterly amazing you are. And that's another journey that I have been on in these last few years, is a discovery of how amazing I am because Jesus lives in me. Hello. There's something about you that is extraordinary because you have an extraordinary God living in you. God wants to shift mindsets because we have a divine exchange that's taken place. And I remember just on this whole thing of sonship and not really discovering or realizing, recognizing who we are. And I think that's often an issue with the church, that God is really addressing our sonship, that he is a good father and he loves us. That's who we are. We're loved by him. And there was one time when we go visiting to the local hospital, and what we tend to do is we just sit in the foyer and we ask Holy Spirit to highlight people, and we go and pray for them. And we've had amazing encounters. And there was one time when I was sitting in the foyer with one of the other students from the school, and there was a man sitting opposite me, and I was like, "Oh God, who do you want me to go and talk to today?" And I was like, and he was like, "I want you to talk to him." And I'm like, "I don't really want to talk to him. Is there anybody else you want me to talk to?" And I was kind of looking around, desperately hoping that God didn't really want me to go and talk to him. And anyway, he's like, "Who have you got in front of you?" So eventually I plucked up the courage and went over to him, and I just said, "Oh, just sitting here, and I'm just, you know, really we're here just to really encourage people, and I just noticed you and just wondered, and we just really want to encourage you and just really believe that God wants to tell you how much he loves you and da 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 da. And he said, I've been sitting here listening to your conversation, and me and my friend Sasha had been for about half an hour probably. This is a good tip, okay? If you want to change an environment that you're in, start talking about miracles. Even if they're not your miracles, start talking about somebody else's miracles. And I assure you that the angels will come in and the environment will start to change. So we were talking for about half an hour about all these different miracles that we're seeing, and Sasha's also in the medical, and she prays for people, and she's seen all sorts of amazing things happening. And so we were talking about this, and he said, yeah, I heard your conversation. He said, that, you know, that's really amazing. And I said, and I started to give him this word that I felt God had for him. And he said, well, which was really all about the love of God and about how much God really loves him for who he is, that he just loves him. And he said, well, me and my wife became Christians about 24 years ago, and we were baptized. He said, but we gave up on the church. Didn't give up on God, but gave up on the church. He said, because I just felt I could never measure up to be good enough. And this guy was not from Gravesend. He was from the north of England, was visiting his daughter who had just gone down for surgery because she'd lost a baby and there was potential that her womb, she was going to lose her womb having surgery. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that the love of the Father? That there's me sitting in a hospital, he's sitting opposite, 24 years. He's felt not good enough, not able to measure up. And there he sent us to tell him how much God loves him. And we were able to connect him up with the church. He's from up here. I think he was from Leicester. Connect him up with a church up here. And so I just feel that there are mind shifts. There are wrong filters that we often have, that we don't think that we are worthy enough, that we don't think that we are good enough. That God wants to remove those orphan spirits from us. And we're to walk in the freedom that we are sons and daughters and worthy of total access of all of the goodness that Father God has for us. In verse 13, it says, now therefore I pray, if I have found grace, favor in your sight, show me now your way. Moses recognized here that there was a higher place. He recognized that there was a higher place, that I might know your ways. He didn't want to stay in the place where he was at, but he wanted to move into the glory of God, didn't he? Because he asked for his glory. So we have to recognize that there is a higher place that God wants us to operate out of and release on the earth. In verse 14 it says, and he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. You know, you cannot know his goodness outside of his presence. We need to be absolute lovers of his presence. It's his presence that sustains us. It's his presence that consumes us. And we have total access to his presence, to the enjoyment of Father God loving on us. His presence. And it leads us into that intimate relationship with Father. It's not enough just to know about him, but we need to know him. And you know, his presence, it's not about proximity. We are already seated with him in heavenly places. It's just about becoming more aware of him. It's about becoming more aware of his presence living in us. Thank you, Jesus. In verse 16 it says, "For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace, favor in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the earth, upon the face of the earth." His goodness separates us out. We look different. We act different when we have a revelation of the goodness of God that we have access to. It separates us out. We will be noticed. We will become magnets. My hairdresser said, that sounds very, very la-di-da, doesn't it? The lady that comes to my house and does my hair, she said to me once, she said, when I come here, she's not a Christian, she said, when I come here, she said, you know, not only do I feel peaceful, but she said, I just feel like all my problems just disappear. She comes into my space, into my home, into my environment that I have created with my family, my wonderful, wonderful husband, and my family, my children, that we have chosen to create in our home. And when people step through our door, they encounter Jesus and his goodness. So we carry his goodness. In verse 18, and he said, this is Moses, "Please show me your glory." You know, I think that God is actually wanting us to pray prayers that he most wants us, that God is wanting us to pray prayers that he most wants to answer. And so he will push you into a corner. And here he's asking for more of his glory, for more of his goodness. And I believe that God wants us to keep asking. Keep asking. And then you will get in to that place where God wants you to be, where he wants you to be positioned and aligned. And I believe it's a place that he wants to bring you into that maybe you haven't been before. Or a place that he wants to take you into that may look a bit different to where you have been before. And then in verse 19, wonderful, wonderful verse, it says, "I will make all my goodness pass before you." We kind of read over that, don't we? Rather kind of like maybe a bit flippantly maybe sometimes, or we don't really take it on what that actually means. "I will cause all of my goodness, every single drop, every ounce of my goodness to pass before you." And what is the result of his goodness passing before you? If you look over in verse 6, the Lord, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. You know, Moses had to be, didn't he, protected. He was hidden in the cleft of the rock. He had to be protected from the goodness of God. That is how powerful his goodness is. His goodness changes everyone that comes into contact with it. and it will first change you. In Psalm 31, I love this, 19. Do you know, I really love the Word of God, because it's the Word of God. But the Word of God is not the end, you know that. It's the beginning of an experience with God. If you just read the Word of God and it doesn't become an experience in your life, then it's just theology. So we have, this needs to become an experiential thing in our lives, where we actually live this, walk this, and this is truth. That this is not the end in itself. And in Psalm 31:19 it says, "Oh, how great is your goodness which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust you." He has stored up goodness for us. Isn't that amazing? You know, heaven is not a storage place. In heaven, they want to release onto the earth all that is in heaven. And he there is waiting for us to just walk in that. And I believe there are deposits of goodness with your name written on it. And he wants you to access it. Holy Spirit will enable you to access the goodness of God that Father has for you to walk in. I want to speak that out over you today. There are things hidden for you to find, that with your name written on it, that will release the goodness of God in your workplace, in your environment, in your situation, in your home. It will become a lifestyle for you of expectation to expect the goodness of God to come through for you. It will be part of your experience with Father God. It will be a normal occurrence for you to experience the goodness of God. It will be a breakthrough encounter for you. There will be breakthrough encounters, but it will also be a lifestyle for you. So you will have breakthrough moments of the goodness of God, but you will also know what it is to walk in the goodness of God in your lives. That will bring freedom to you and hope. That will be a day-by-day experience. In Romans, which is a really well-known scripture, which I used to find it very difficult when people would say this to me, because I didn't have the revelation of this scripture. It's Romans 8:28. And you know it well. He works everything, all circumstances in your life to aspire together for the sake of goodness. And that was, I found that really hard when someone was, well, he's going to work it all, you know, he'll work it all out for you, so don't worry. Because I didn't really have a revelation of what it meant to know the goodness of God. Every situation gives us an opportunity to get a new glimpse of the goodness of God. That's what I have experienced in the last 9 months. I have experienced the overwhelming goodness of God in my life. We encounter Father God like never before. And when you encounter Father God, you will encounter his goodness. David is great, isn't he? He's so honest. And if you look in Psalm 27, 13, I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord. He would have despaired. He would have lost heart. But he only knew because of his own encounters with God. It's so key that you have your own revelations, your own encounters. It's great when we come together like this. It's great when we have a corporate gathering. But we need to journey with God ourselves. You are responsible for you, and I am responsible for me and your journey with God. And when you have your own encounters with him, that will take you into new dimensions of understanding the goodness of God. And that's why David could say that. In the face of such turmoil and difficulty, he could say that I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living, not when he was dead or in heaven, but in the land of the living. So where you are now, I want to speak this out over somebody today, is not a permanent place of residence. What you're going through is not a permanent place of residence. God has a spacious place that he wants to bring you into and take you out of your situation. It may not be how or the way you think it might be, but God wants to lead you out into a spacious place, into a new place. It's not a permanent place of residence. We should never underestimate the hunger in God's heart to bring his kingdom onto the earth. We have the opportunity to release the redemptive purposes of his goodness on the earth today. Look in Jeremiah. Hope you don't mind flicking around the Bible. Jeremiah 33:7. Nine. Is that seven? No, that's wrong. 33:9. Then it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise and an honor before all nations of the earth, who shall hear all the good that I do to them. They shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and all the prosperity that I provide for them. And 32:38. This is great. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. The enemy will tremble at his goodness. Goodness always leads to repentance, and it will change everyone who comes into contact with it. Like I said, it will change the environment in which, the atmosphere in which you operate in which, where you work, and where you live, in this town. God wants to release his goodness, not only over your lives, but over those that don't yet know him and his amazing, amazing love. I just want to, I'm going to finish there now, is it John? I don't know who is playing the guitar. Yeah. Do you guys have anything you just want to share or add, or any words or? No? Okay. I just would like us just to worship God for a bit longer, and then we're going to pray with some people, because that's part of what we want to do this weekend, is to pray for you guys and minister to you and love on you, So if there was anything that I said, particularly at the beginning, the word, the prophetic words that I gave, that is, you think, yeah, that's me, then that would be great if you could come and we pray for you. Or if there's anything else that you want us to pray for, then come. There will be opportunities over the weekend, but because we've still got another half an hour, so thought we'd just take some time just to worship him and just enjoy his presence, and we'll just see where Holy Spirit wants to take us.